So in my church history class in seminary, our professor showed us this little comic, and it's about as good of a joke that you can get in a church history class, that's not a high standard. So just with some grace, I'm just going to show you this. It shows this long history of the Christian church, and then the pastor says, "So this is where our movement came along and finally got the Bible right, and we got it right." And then the members say, "Oh, Jesus is so lucky to have us." That's how I think they would be talking. Jesus is so lucky, and this is our mentality so often. But the church is big. Church is big, and it goes back a long, long way. And though we love our church, really we're just a part of a much bigger picture. We wanted as a church to begin a discussion for just a couple of weeks to try to look at what our church, our denomination, the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, believes, and how the scriptures inform what we believe as a church. One of the great things about our church is that there's room for everyone at the table. There's a place for everyone in the body of Christ. Even if we don't see eye to eye on everything, we try to recognize that we are just a part of a bigger picture that God is piecing together. And we see this message in our scripture today from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Though we are many, we are one body," Paul says. "Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. We are one body in Christ, made one in the Spirit of the Lord. The church scattered all over, while of vastly different beliefs, totally different practices, we are one body of one Spirit. We are one, even if it really doesn't seem like it. This is God's intention for the church, to be one, united by the same Spirit." Often Christians will talk about going back to the early church days, as if there were just one church and all worshiped together and we all believed the same things and there were no divisions or no disagreements. But the truth is that from very early on, there were divisions in the church, disagreements that divided the body. The idea that we could go back to when the church was just one church is just really never was the case. There was disunity within the church about who were the real Christians, who had special Christian status and who didn't. And this disunity was enough of an issue in the church that it required the Apostle Paul to write a letter to the church in Corinth. And we see in our scripture the pleas from Paul to remember, we are of the same Spirit, of the same Lord. We were all baptized into one body. Remember that. Hans Asperger was a man who discovered that some children see the world differently, interact with the world differently, and due to his research, this became known in children as Asperger's syndrome. He said that people with Asperger's become fixated on things that evoke their curiosity, but not always in a life-enhancing way. And he says people with Asperger's struggle to see themselves as part of a whole community. And this is a characteristic of Asperger's. Though in truth, this is really a characteristic of all of us as humans. We too often turn inward. We focus on our own situation. We fail to see ourselves as part of a wider community, the community we belong to. You are the body of Christ, Paul says. He doesn't ask us permission first. He simply states a fact for us. You are the body of Christ, individually members of it. We're a part of a wider plan, a piece in a bigger picture. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves. And being the body of Christ means then seeing ourselves that way, as part of a whole community. So there are implications for how we should behave because of this reality, because of being part of the body. Paul says, indeed, the body of Christ does not consist of one member, but of many. And I love how Paul explains it for us. You've heard it before. He said, if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. If we don't see ourselves as a valuable part of the body, if we're not functioning as a part of the body, because we don't think we're needed, the whole body, the whole community suffers. And just the same, if we think too highly of ourselves and we don't see the value of other members of the body, the whole community suffers. All play an essential role in the body of Christ. There was a famous baseball pitcher named Dizzy Dean. And once he was hit by a line drive right straight to his toe. Not too big a deal, right? And so he went right back to pitching. He didn't give his toe enough time to heal, and instead he went right back to pitching. And because of that pain that he felt in his toe, whenever he went to put any weight on that toe in his pitching, he completely changed the way that he threw the ball. His delivery was completely changed. And this, that was seemingly just a small thing, before too long it put more and more stress on his pitching arm, and it forced him into his very early retirement. Just a little thing, like a hurt toe, ended up having major, unforeseen consequences. Just the small, seemingly insignificant parts that we play are ultimately of great significance, necessary for the whole body to function as it should. There's a Christian song that goes, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? And the point is clear. If we're the body of Christ, we need to act like it, right? Whether you're the head or the arm or the toe of the body, we are a part of something bigger, a wider plan that really only God can see. And the body functions best, makes the greatest impact in this world when we're all functioning, all working as one. Much like today, the early church was made up of a variety of drastically different people, with different gifts, differing opinions, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. People who were so different one from another, you can hardly blame them for arguing among themselves. the differences in the beliefs and the practices of a Jewish believer compared to a Greek believer in the early Christian church would be night and day. And yet, Paul says, Jew or Greek, slave or free, we are made one, made to drink of the one Spirit. This is not some suggestion that we should all look the same, talk the same, think the same. This is not about everybody being the same. It's unity despite our differences. And really, it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit somehow bringing people from opposite ends of the spectrum together to form one body. The Spirit empowering us to work together for the common good. Only by the Spirit is this possible. In his book, The Pursuit of God, the author A.W. Tozer, he wrote that, has it ever occurred to you that 100 different pianos that are all tuned to one tuning fork, 100 pianos tuned to this same note, are then automatically tuned to each other? They're of one accord, not because they've tuned to each other, but to another standard that binds them all together. And so 100 or 1,000 Christians, each one looking to Christ, to the Spirit of God, are made one in Christ because of our shared connection to the Spirit of God, because we drink of one Spirit, as Paul says. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God that gives life to the body of Christ, to the church. It's by the Spirit that we're made one, that we're able to live and function as the body. Only by the life-giving Spirit are we able to be who we're called to be as the church, here in this place and around the world. Our denomination, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, was the first denomination that was formed here in the U.S., and one of the tenets of the movement from the beginning was a deep commitment to the unity of the church, even amidst difficult disagreements. And one of the old slogans of the church is that we as a church are Christians, but not the only Christians. We're Christians, but not the only Christians. The body of Christ is bigger, wider than we may think. All of us are one in Christ Jesus. The leaders of the early disciples' church worked hard to be humble in theology, to recognize that we're just one part of the body. And for the sake of unity, they tried hard from the beginning to maintain loving relationships with liberals, with conservatives and moderates all alike. And that's not always easy to do, we know. For on one side or the other, it's as drastically different as Jews and Greeks, slave or free. But if we're a part of the whole, if we're one in the Spirit, we're not on one side or the other. We're a part of the body of Christ. And this principle, this deep commitment to love and to unity in the Spirit, I think really has something to teach us today in this divided world we're living in. For a time, the disciples movement was the fastest growing religious group in America. In the 1800s, all of the evangelical churches were growing dramatically. Baptist and Methodist were growing fast, but the disciples, they were growing the fastest. And people said for years and years, I doubted that God loved me. But in meeting these disciples, their hearts were changed. The spiritual life author Richard Foster wrote that in our day, heaven and earth are on tiptoe, waiting for the emerging of a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered people. All of creation watches expectantly. It has happened before, it can happen again. In our day, the world is watching waiting expectantly for us, for the body of Christ in action. The world waits for a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered people. And it's happened before, and so it can happen again. Amen.